It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, live from the Racing Boys studio here in Kansas City, Missouri. And we are so happy to have our producer back, Austin O'Neill. Austin, how you feeling, buddy? You feeling better now?
A lot better than
Monday?
Monday morning. I tell you, I woke up Monday and I didn't know what was wrong with me. And I'm glad it passed.
No, hold on. Now, you knew something was wrong with you because you had a fever, right?
I had a fever. I had a super bad headache. I can get away with pain and being sick. I mean, I raced Lucas Oil last year for three straight nights with a cold.
Right.
Don't recommend doing that.
Don't do that.
I made the show though, so it paid off. but yeah, I know I woke up and it wasn't my typical Monday, and I knew something was up.
Yeah. So you had a fever, you had a headache. You didn't get sick to your stomach, did you?
Nope, I didn't. I just had a fever and a headache and just your typical, like cold symptoms. And
you think you caught that from Todd?
I don't know. I don't know if it was from Todd or some of my family.
Because Todd come over here one day and he wasn't really well yet.
No, and I'm glad he left that Saturday morning and let me take care of it. But
right?
No, it was a couple days ago, but
yeah,
when that happened, I just guess it just took a little time to catch up to him.
So yesterday you didn't feel too good either, huh? Were you starting to rally back yesterday?
Well, my goal, Monday, I just laid around and did nothing, and I know Tuesday my goal was to get up and actually do something. Maybe that's might be the start to getting over this. And I worked on the computer for a little bit and watched the show and did some activities around the house, and I think that's probably why I'm sitting here today. And got over my cold, and hopefully we get to go racing this weekend. Probably not, but go do some type of racing. So
did you watch the World of Outlaws last night at Valdo?
So I watched the preliminary races, so like the heat races and a little bit of qualifying, and then I crashed out, and I watched the replay this morning, and I think if that track was a little wider, we'd have a really good race, but still we had a great race anyways.
It was really cold there.
They had a lot of variables.
If you watched the broadcast and you paid attention to the people in the grandstands, it was colder than hell there last night. And I'm not going to lie to you. Every time I've been down to Las Cruces area, and when we used to go to Las Cruces back in the day, cold all the time. Freezing cold all the time down there during the winter months. So, but the good news is Brad Sweet picked up his first win since Skagit on Labor Day last year. It's when you think about that for a second, Austin, just think about this for a second. Brad Sweet not winning a race all year long this year, hadn't won a race since Labor Day of last year at Skagit. That's almost unbelievable, isn't it?
It really is. We're used to seeing Brad, knock down 2 to 3 wins by the first 10 or 12 races of the year. And,
right.
We're to that point, and he's just getting number one. And, last year at that time of the year, it was starting to get to a crunch time of points racing, and he was kind of focused on just being consistent, not making any mistakes to cost him a championship. And I think a lot of other teams got good this year, and some other teams didn't get well. That's like Logan Schuchart. I mean, he's still struggling.
Yeah.
But I think you go to a new variable of a new track. Nobody has any notes unless you're Carson Macedo, who went there and tested one night, but he didn't run. He ran all right, but
right.
He had a new variable, and what better than Brad to go out there and set the standard?
Macedo was seventh last night.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were talking about it last night on the broadcast. Who broke the track record last night? Who was it?
Well, so I heard Johnny saying that the track, they don't have, 410s haven't been there. Only a 360's been there. And the 360 set.
So they broke a 360 track record.
Yes. And then, with the 410s being there for the first time, whoever put time each time was, a new track record. So,
right.
And I think McFadden was our quick time.
I'm trying to look through the press release here and trying if I can find that. But I know that they broke the track record last night. That track was really tacky and really fast last night. At one point, Donnie Schatz, during the feature, no, it wasn't the feature. I think it was during his heat race. He ran a sub 11-second lap around that racetrack.
That's crazy. Well, I mean, so that track, when the Outlaws...
When I say that, I think it was like 11.90.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, the way the Outlaws measure their track, it's, you know, between the infield or the, let's say, the berm down there, what they got down there, and then and the wall. You know, I think it rolled out to like a 0.3 something. That's really close to like Lake Ozark Speedway, which is like a 0.33. It's a little bit bigger than US 36, which is right at a quarter. So I mean, you know, you get, you know, cold weather, a heavy track, and, you know, a short track.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're just, that's just great details and, you know, key points for, you know, a fast lap time. And
right.
I think, you know, if it was a little bit wider and not as greasy, you know, in hot laps, that we could have maybe seen a faster quick time.
Yeah. Well, there was no doubt that Brad Sweet wanted that race pretty bad last night.
Yeah.
You could sense that he really wanted to win that race. And, you know, he should win that race starting. Would he start on the pole? He did, didn't he? Yeah.
Well, I mean, you get people that say, well, you know, Brad's, I don't want to say washed. I mean, he's not washed up, but, you know, it's not Brad's year. You know, Brad's not going to go four in a row or not. You know, that's what it's not looking like right now, and
right.
I think he was ready to kind of turn away the comments about
well,
that.
Let me tell you, this explains to you what the track conditions were last night. Brad Sweet, he wins the race. He started on the pole. Shelton Hodenshield, he started second, front row outside. He ran second. Donnie Schatz, he started third. He ran third. James McFadden, he started fifth. Run fourth. David Gravel, he started seventh. He run fifth. Spencer Baston, he started eighth. He run sixth. Carson Macedo, he started ninth. He run seventh. So nobody made any real ground.
No, and if you people that are watching the stream, the TV to the left of Scott, that's the highlight reel from Dirt Vision last night, and then the one on the right, that's the whole stream, and you can see in the feature that it's only half a track wide.
Yeah,
you're only wide enough for, you know, three wide racing, and we saw if you later on you'll see it that, you know, David Gravel had a run, I believe on Sheldon, and then he was also battling with a lap car, and the track was so narrow he couldn't get there to throw a slider.
Yeah,
I mean, he would have had to just right rear the crap out of Sheldon and wrecked him for the slider, and it wouldn't have made sense to do that.
No.
And like I said, if it was maybe, you know, three lanes wider, you could have seen some haymakers and an even better race. But
right,
I mean, it'll only get better when that was the first trip there. So it'll only get better from this point going forward.
I mean, if you go back there and you look throughout the field, nobody made any ground. Who was the hard charger? Let's see who the hard charger was. Does it say? It doesn't give me that. I don't see it right now. But anyway, long story short is, I'm looking deep in the field, and I'm looking at Noah Gass, for example. He started 12th. He runs 17th. Now, granted, he had to break out a backup car, didn't he?
Yeah, well, they ran hot laps, and I don't know if he caught the slime the wrong way, but... He smoked the fence, and they called the backup car out, and then at the start of the feature, he got under the wall again. So Noah Gass did not have a good night.
He's run for Rookie of the Year too.
He is. I remember racing Noah back in 2016 at Sweet Springs for the Show Me Showdown, and him and I just had a heck of a race. And it's cool to see him take on this Avenger, but it's a tough deal to take on, you know.
Yeah, no doubt. So what did you think about the racing this weekend? We really haven't had a chance to talk to you about it. I know David Gravel, he picks up the win at Paris, but man, did he had a rough go at Bakersfield. We've got some video of that wreck.
Yeah, well, before we get into that, I'll go back to your hard charger. It was Tanner Thorson plus six.
Six spots.
He started 19th, finished 13th.
So that kind of tells you everything, doesn't
it?
Yeah, yeah. Should we get into this topic? Let's do it. Let's do it before we get into something else. They have canceled the Luxor ASCS National Tour race, the Capital City Clash, that was supposed to take place down at Jackson Motor Speedway in Mississippi. They have canceled that race because of flood warnings and, here we go, shortage of tires.
Shortage, yes. I can tell you what my thoughts are on this. I know what yours are, so
yep.
You want to go? You want to start?
I'll let you go because you're the racer.
All right, so we changed the ASCS format. Majority of the drivers wanted an ASCS format change. We go to qualifying.
Right.
So what majority of all the qualifying formats are, you have a right rear rule. So we qualify on the right, so we have to race on the right rear we qualify on. So that was enforced at Devil's Bowl. It really wasn't, I don't know if it was too much enforced at Little Rock. So if we are having a tire shortage, we need to have a tire rule.
Right.
To limit what the big teams can do with tires. So, I mean, if you have an unlimited budget.
Now explain that a little deeper, because when you say that, when teams have a larger budget, they can buy tires in bulk, right?
They can. Well, you look at a right rear, they're $250.
Right.
I can put a new one on for qualifying, I can put a new one on for the heat race, and I can put a new one on for the feature.
Right.
That's three tires. That's about, I don't know, $1,000. If you're putting a left rear on too, add another $275 to it. So you're putting on about $1,000 worth of tires every night.
Every night.
And so that's three to four tires every night that you're taking away from Hoosier Supply. If we are in a tire shortage, why are we allowing teams to just run as much tires as they want? You know, I mean, now if we have a situation to where like it takes rubber, then yes, we can do something. But
right.
If we're having an issue with getting tires, we need to just limit, like I told you earlier. So if a team puts on a new one on for qualifying and a new one on for the feature,
yep.
And 10 teams do that, that's 20 tires right there.
Right.
If you have a 20-car field, you limit them all to one right rear, that takes that 20 tires and splits it across the whole field, and now it just kind of doubles your supply.
Do you think a little bit different because your team doesn't have the big budget and that's the reason that you feel that way? Or do you feel that if you had the big budget, would you do what the big teams do?
Well, if I had the budget, I would do what they do because mm-hmm. they're going to do it. Now, if I want to be competitive with them, I need to do it as well.
Yeah.
So, it doesn't logistically make sense for me to do that. And, I mean, there's other ways around this. Yes, I get Devil's Bowl. It took rubber. So then maybe you change the tire rule to where you start on you qualify on any tire you want, and you run that for qualifying in a heat race, maybe a B main if you're in the B. But allow them to put a new right rear on for the feature.
Yeah.
Everybody has the option. Now, that just saves your tire supply, right?
Yep.
So, and I probably should have said this earlier, ASCS did put a press release out that now we're allowed to run as much tire as we want all night. So we can put a new one on every time we hit the track. So
you think that's not a good idea?
No, that's just a little context what I was saying. So if we're canceling races because we can't get tires, mm-hmm. why do we have this rule that we can run as much tire as we want all night? I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
What's your take on it?
Well, you know, me personally, I was never... Well, I can't say I never was. There was a time at the end of my career where I had a pretty good budget, but I think I spent $10,000 on tires at I-70 my last year running a modified.
Yeah.
$10,000. But I'm kind of like you. But here's the thing. You know, they had a tire rule at I-70 Speedway at one time. Oh, gosh. I'm gonna confess here a little bit. I cheated that tire deal. It was easy to do. It wasn't really hard to do. You had your markers. You knew what kind of marks they put on the tires. You'd put the marks on the tires. Then we'd take them out in the grass, and we'd rub the sidewalls in the grass real good. Just spin them around the sidewall so they kind of looked used, right? And then once you went out on the racetrack and you ran them, it was used.
Right.
Nobody knew. Nobody knew the difference.
But back then, you probably didn't have an issue like we do now.
Well, it was a one-tire rule.
Right.
Yeah. But needless to say, I was hanging around Jeff Klim at the time, and he was a pretty good cheater. Just saying. I'm not saying that he was a cheater. He won a lot of races.
Right.
But I'm just telling you, he showed me how to do it, and he left it up to me to do it.
Right.
He didn't help me do it. He showed me how to do it.
Well, I mean, that's what the rules were kind of there for. You know, to be, you know, broke and wrote, you know, gone around, but...
Right. So, let me ask you this. If you had it your way, you'd be a one-tire-a-night rule.
in the situation we're in, and this day, March 30th, 2022, one tire. Because we've seen the 305 Nationals get canceled.
What happens? Hold on, Austin. Let me stop you right there for a second. What happens if we come up on a situation like Devil's Bowl where the track's rubbered up and you're burning up tires and you're going to blow out tires? They cut that race from 30 laps to 20 laps because they knew they couldn't get 30 laps out of those
tires. That's
where
this other option comes into play.
Tell me what you would do there.
So if to keep this, keep with Devil's Bowl in mind, so what we can do is teams, you have, you know, used tires that maybe have, you know, 8 to 15 laps on them. I mean, they're like new, but they're not 100% new.
Yep.
You run that tire in qualifying. So you pick your best used tire, you run it in qualifying.
Right.
You run it in your heat race. And then that's when you're allowed to put one new right rear on for the feature. And then what you can do, you have to run that 25-lap race, 30-lap race for the ACS every once in a while. That feature tire becomes your qualifying tire the next week.
Right.
And then that tire becomes just a set off to the side spare for an emergency. You put a new one on that feature, you come back around, it's new that next week for qualifying. So, yes, you don't want to qualify on a used tire, but, I mean, that's a way to kind of, fix the issue or just kind of help prevent the, until we can get our supply back up.
Right.
That's the only way I think to do it.
Put the phone number up there real quick.
All right.
Tommy Hahn is chiming in here on the chat room. He said that I want to talk about this. So, Tommy, we're going to put the phone number up there, and you give us a call at this phone number real quick. 816-833-8553, 816-833-8553. I want you to call in, Tommy, and give me your opinion, because, listen, there's not many people I put their opinions up higher on a pedestal than Tommy Hahn. I'm just telling you. And he said, Austin, we could have used Friday night tire on Saturday night. Under one night, a tire rule. We have to put a new one on Saturday night.
Right. That's what when you put a one tire rule in at the start after qualifying, that's what that forces you to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe, like I said multiple times, if you push it to the feature, you know, you run the feature on a new one, that might help it. But we'll see what. Hopefully Tommy calls us. We'll see
what he ain't going to call. We've had a phone number up there. He hadn't called us yet. 816-833-8553. Steve Post and Scotty Cook are going to join us here in just a little bit. We'll have Steve on in a moment. But I'd really like for Tommy to give us a call in. 816-833-8553. I'm in it for whatever gets the most amount of teams. Whatever program that you run, tire-wise, I want to see 15 regular national tour guys here. Let me just go to. I'll get it. All right, let's. That's. Never mind me getting it.
He jumped the gun on us.
He did.
No, that's all right. I'm
going to
put you on hold. All right.
You can hear O'Cook. All right, let's go to Tommy Hahn. He's calling in. Hey, Tommy, how you doing, buddy?
Good. I couldn't write the phone number down quick enough. I was trying to get in. No, this tire rule, Austin has good points, but the reason that it's not a good rule in our opinion is because Friday night at Devil's Bowl, they instituted that rule. We had a good tire left after Friday night's feature. The tire was still good. We could have ran it Saturday, but under the rules that we had, we could not start with a used tire that we'd already ran all night because we didn't know what the track condition would be like. So we had to put a brand new tire on. So that tire we had is basically, we're going to sell it to someone. We can't use it. So Saturday night, we qualified and ran our heat race on a tire. Tire still looked good. Well, some other teams blistered their tire. They went to Terry, complained, said, hey, our tire doesn't look good.
We'll never make it.
Our tire's blistered.
Yeah.
So guess what? Terry changed his mind. He said, okay, we're going to let other teams change their tire. So we had to put another tire on for the feature because everyone else was putting new tires on.
Yeah.
So there's two tires that we – so you know what I'm saying? It's just a big – on the surface, it sounds like a great idea.
Yeah.
But when you really dissect it, it's really it's not that. It actually costs you tires.
Yeah, Tommy, let me ask you. So what happens in a situation if we get into another one of those Devil Bowl type situations where everybody's blistering tires and they're burning up the tires? Would you be in favor of them making a one-night rule for that, if that was the case?
Well, yeah, I would, and that's what they did. But the problem with that, Scott, is Blake and Matt Covington and Dylan Westbrook, the more veterans drivers, didn't burn their tires up in the heat. They went by the rules.
Yeah.
We had younger drivers that went out there and burnt their tires up in the heat and then go over there and say, oh, well, our tires are burnt up. We need tires.
Yeah.
Well, so we played by the rules, and then they changed the rules. So it's just Terry has waived the rule, which is, I think, is a good deal, because we can run a used tire, because the previous rules that he enacted, you could never run a used tire. You were going to have to start with a new tire every single night. So
yeah.
I think it's going to save people. You know, at least you can use a used tire. Under the old rules, we could not use a used tire.
Yeah, yeah. No, that makes good sense, Tommy. You know, I put a lot of stock in what you say. You've been out there doing this for a long time.
Hey, and let me say right now,
yep.
Terry Maddox is doing a great job. He's listening to the drivers. You know, he changed this rule because when he first enacted it, it looked like a good rule.
Yeah.
Come to find out it wasn't. It would cost. So he changed the rule. You know, so he's listening to the drivers. He's, you know, he's doing everything right. So I'm not saying anything bad about Terry.
I know you're not. We all like Terry, right? There's nothing personal in this.
Exactly.
Right. But
all right, guys.
All right, well, Tommy, thank you for calling in, buddy. We appreciate you.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, there you have it, Tommy Hahn. All right, we're going to take a break, Austin. When we come back, the postman, Steve Post, is going to join us here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. Mostly Motorsports will continue in a moment. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Rod End Supply is involved with a variety of motorsports as well as industrial applications with many different types of products. Since 1989, Rod End Supply has provided superior products priced competitively. Whether you're racing at the circle track or drag strip, rock climbing, or going off-road, Rod End Supply has an assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products to keep your equipment moving. Rod End Supply's experienced staff is ready and willing to help you with your needs. Their promise is to continue to provide a superior product with superior service so you can stay in front of the field no matter what it is. To learn more, go to rodendsupply.com.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
Three nine-hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas fuel treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, again live from the Race Boy Studio here in Kansas City, Missouri. And joining us on the show, his weekly visit, the postman, Steve Post, joins us on the show. What do you know, Steve?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm sandwiched in between Tommy Hahn and Scotty Cook.
How about that?
Man, I'm in royalty with those two. My gosh, I don't even feel like I belong in that category.
Well, I don't know. I put you at the top of the pedestal there, bud. Just so you know.
I listened to the opening of the show, and I'm like you. I have so much respect for Tommy Hahn, yep. And I'm glad he called in to give some perspective on this. It's an issue that's out there with the tires, and I just love the fact that Tommy could call in and give his perspective on it. I have no idea what the answer is, but guys like that, given their perspective, certainly helps give some color and some context to the situation. So it's good stuff.
I think it's going to get serious this summer. I think there's going to be a serious tire shortage at some point during the summer months, especially when we get into June and July, when the tracks start getting real dry and rubber up and they start burning up a lot of tires. That's when I think we're going to see the issue. I don't think we're going to see it here in March and April. I think we'll be okay. But it's when we get in the heat of the summer is when we got to start worrying, I think. Don't you?
Well, we get in the heat of the summer and all the series and all the teams and everybody is out racing, too.
Yeah.
We're still in March.
Yeah.
I mean, more series have not ran than have ran.
That's true.
You know, so I think that's interesting. I also think a factor that comes into this, and I don't know much about the surface down at Jackson, but obviously Devil's Bowl did rubber up, and they went mm-hmm. through more tires there. I didn't hear any of that talk from I-30. So, I mean, I think you're, and to your point, you know, track conditions are going to be a factor as well. To your point, this summer, it tends to get worse as far as that goes. So
yeah.
I don't know. It's a big old I don't know. And it's frustrating. But I'm with you. I think it rears its ugly head sometime over the summer. So it gets all of our attention.
Yeah, no doubt about it. How about last night at Votto Speedway, Brad Sweet? Isn't it amazing that we are saying at this point of the season, Brad Sweet hadn't won a race since last Labor Day at Skagit Speedway. Is that unbelievable?
It's unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. But when you think about it, when you think about their wheelhouse, KKR, Casey Kane Racing wheelhouse,
yep.
One of their tracks where they are so good at is Volusia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, we never get this far into the season, usually because, you know, and when Darren was driving for him or whoever's driven that car, Joey, they are so good at Volusia. And when Brad didn't win there, you know, that kind of took the one that they normally get.
They
normally get something out of there. And so it is amazing. Now I listened to Brad talking after the race. And, you know, they got toward the end of last year and they were point racing. So, I mean, I understand that.
Right.
And Scott, I was looking at this. In the 10 races this year, prior to last night, he had 8 top 5 finishes. So it's not like they've been bad.
It's not like he's out to lunch. Wins,
but
right.
I couldn't
it's not
believe
like he's out to lunch.
7 months since he won the last race. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's really remarkable. And to be fair, last night's track wasn't the greatest conditions either. It was cold. The track was narrow. There wasn't a lot of room to pass people. We sit here and we look at the starting positions. Brad started on the pole. He wins. Sheldon, he starts second. He runs second. Donnie Schott starts third. He runs third. McFadden, he starts fifth. He runs fourth. David Gravel starts seventh. He runs fifth. I mean, they're all right there. Not a lot of progress moving up through the field.
Yeah, it was one of those nights where it was a fast racetrack. The lap times were fast even throughout all of the feature. Never did widen out. And the depth of the World of Outlaw field is so good, you know, that a David Gravel, you know, as good as that team is, they could only go from seventh to fifth, you know, especially when you've got guys like Sweet and Sheldon and Donnie starting in the front three spots. So, yeah, the track played into it, but, you know,
that's part of it.
Brad did what he needed to do in the dash, did what he needed to do to get that position, and then was flawless. And Sheldon had some runs at him.
He did.
During the running of the race. There was one time down in 3 and 4, Sheldon got by him, but Brad was able to turn it back down. So, you know, he did what he needed to do. He fended it off as a 3-time champion would. And, you know, here's the thing. I don't think it'll be another 7 months before Brad Sweet goes back to
Victory. Oh, me neither. No way.
We might have cracked the seal on that one now. It might be some rough sledding for some other competitors when they get that car rolling.
You know, it was funny last night that they talked about Donnie Schott's. I think it was in his heat race where he ran a 11.90 around that racetrack. Man, that's smoking.
Oh, gosh, I'll tell you. Yeah, the track stayed fast all night long. It really did. Which yields some of that, some incredible times. It really is amazing how fast they were getting around that joint.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's take a step back to last weekend. There's been so much fodder about the conclusion of the Cup race last weekend down there in Austin. I want to know what your opinion is of Ross Chastain putting the bumper to the 16. Let me just state my opinion on it first. The 16 had it coming because he'd put the bumper to the one car before that, right? And you have not won a Cup race in your career. You're going to do everything that you can in your powers to win that Cup race. And I think Ross Chastain did exactly what he had to do.
No doubt. No doubt. Scott, I am amazed at the conversation this week.
Yeah.
The conversation this week is like, this is the first time somebody has wrecked somebody for a win.
Right.
We're talking, is there a new code among the drivers?
Right.
I don't know. Let's talk to Ricky Rudd and Dale Earnhardt at North Wilkesboro in the 80s.
Right.
You know, we have someone wreck someone to win a race. That's happened in the 70-year history of NASCAR. How many times? Somebody is happy that they won a race, and somebody is pissed off that they lost a race.
Right.
That's never happened before.
Never.
I think it was awesome. I think it was fantastic. I think it's quintessential what has made NASCAR racing what it is. I'm just boggled by the conversation that this appears to be something new. I mean, right. How many times did Jeff Gordon run Rusty Wallace up the racetrack at Bristol to win? How many times did Dale Earnhardt do it to, you know, wreck Terry Labonte? Just meant to rattle his cage.
Right.
You know, Bobby, blocking. Donnie Allison taking Cale Yarborough all the way to the grass at Daytona in 1979.
Right.
The fight. That was wrecking somebody to win the Daytona 500. Let's go back to 1976. David Pearson and Richard Petty in that finish.
Yeah.
And yet we're acting like Sunday Ross Chastain has set a new code for drivers?
No.
Oh, my gosh. He did what drivers have been doing all along, and more power to him. He went up and he took the win. I thought it was spectacular. I thought it was a wild finish. I can't even understand. I can't even understand the whole debate of a code of conduct and everything like that, because it's nothing new in NASCAR. It's what makes NASCAR appealing to so many people.
How about Dale Earnhardt and Jeff Bodine? Did those two grind up a few cars in their day?
Yeah. They you know, the movie Days of Thunder, where the boss man calls the two drivers down to his office, that was Jeff Bodine and Dale Earnhardt.
Right.
They got called with their team owners, Rick Hendrick and Richard Childress. They got called to the NASCAR offices for a meeting to settle things down a little bit between them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and that was the Days of Thunder where it took it to the extreme is when they got wrecking rental cars.
Yeah.
Okay. That was the only exaggeration in that story.
Yeah.
The truth of that story is that they got called to an office. The true story, and Jeff just told it last week on Dale Jr.'s Download, is then Bill France, him, Rick Hendrick, and Richard Childress rode to dinner, and he made Jeff Bodine and Dale Earnhardt ride together to dinner.
Yeah.
And they had to ride together after this come-to-Jesus meeting.
Yeah.
They had to ride together and sort things out, and they did.
Yeah.
But now it's exciting. We are at such a neat time in the sport when you got young stars like Ross Chastain and Chase Briscoe and these guys up here just mixing it up and upsetting the hierarchy that we have. I think it's fascinating. I really think it is. I think it's so cool.
I think we talked about this a little bit last week, but I think it's the year of the young driver this year with the new car and the way that the dirt drivers have the feel for these cars sliding around and doing what they do. We're seeing a lot of these young guys come up through the ranks. Look at Christopher Bell. He had a great finish. He ran third this last weekend. You know, and we see these guys that have come up through the open wheel ranks that are really excelling right now because of this new car. Do you think that this is the great equalizer, the new car?
I think it's interesting. I think I don't think the old guard is done, but I think, and I had an interview. We're gonna air it on Sunday in our pre-race coverage on Motor Racing Network. I spent some time yesterday talking with Kevin Harvick, and I asked him what are the characteristics of this car that are different, and he listed two.
Mm.
He listed the aerodynamics on this car, especially the right side of this car, are unlike anything that he has ever felt in his career. There's minimal impact. You know, you can get a car to your right side and it doesn't impact you and it doesn't impact that car.
Right.
And the other thing is with this composite body, you can rub and race and you don't have to worry about cut tires.
Yeah.
So that's what Kevin said is different about this car. My follow-up question offered some really good insight into what I think is happening. I said, all right, veteran driver, Kevin, how do you unlearn that? And then he was like, it's a process to unlearn it.
Mm.
You go down into a corner and you're used to someone being on your right side, and you're like, oh, this is going to be, oh, no, it's all right. This is the new car. You want to stick your nose in to some place, but you're like, no, I got to protect the fenders. Oh, you don't have to. And Kevin said to me, he said he is learning the newness of this car, but it does take a split second to do those moves that in the past you wouldn't dare to do.
Yeah.
And I think he will get it. I think, you know, Denny Hamlin will get it, Martin Truex, I think they will get it. Here's where I think it's different is that the guys like Ross Chastain and Tyler Reddick and Chase Briscoe and those guys, they don't have that years of, oh, I can't do that.
Right.
They don't have that. And so they're just wheeling those cars. And the other thing, Scott, that I've noticed about it is that, pardon the expression and the meaning of this, these young guys are just setting them on the dash and going all day long.
They are.
It is unreal how they're going at each other. I mean, and I'm talking, Daniel Suarez, the pace he was setting in the first stage of that race.
Yeah.
I mean, they were running with their tongues hanging out, trying to chase him down.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's a changing of the guard. I think it's unlearning some old habits. I think the old guys will still win some racing, but I do think it has equalized for some of these young guys to really step their game up and really move to the forefront. And they're taking advantage of it too. Boy, they're kicking the door down to victory lane. They're not sneaking in. They're kicking it down to victory lane. And it's fun to watch.
No doubt. I don't think I've been more excited to watch a year of Cup racing than I have been this year, to be honest with you. You know, with all the young drivers working their way up to the top now, you know, we've always always thought of the old veteran drivers, the cream always rise to the top, right? But that's not what we're seeing this year. We're seeing the youth movement rise to the top this year. And I think that's exciting for everybody because, you know, there was a strange time here just a couple of years ago when all the elder statesmen, the guys like Boyer, Stewart, guys that were Jimmy Johnson getting out of the sport, you wondered how well the fans were going to take on with the new drivers. And it seems like, to me, the fans have starting to take a liking to some of the new young drivers.
Yeah, I mean, it's like and the thing of it is when you look at these guys like Chase Briscoe and Christopher Bell and Tyler Reddick and Ross Chastain and Daniel Suarez, what's not to like? I mean, they're just you. I mean, I deal with them on probably a more personal level than many other people do because I interview them.
Yep.
I can tell you they are a pleasure to deal with. And then when I look at their interaction with fans, whether it be at the racetrack or through social media or through sponsor programs and everything, what's not to like about this new generation of race car driver? I mean, they are just – then they're out and about and racing. You know, I mean, Christopher Bell and Kyle Larson, you want to go see them race, just go to your local dirt track.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're out and about. They're doing the thing. William Byron's been running a late model car. He was up at Hickory last week. He's got races. I think we're at an exciting time in the sport because I think there is a changing of the guard, and this is not a slam on the old guard that sits in the place, but this new guard are just some really, really good kids that are going to carry this sport into amazing places. They really are.
You know who I'm really enjoying watching this year? And I've been a fan of his ever since I did an interview with him out at Kansas Speedway. He's such a nice guy. Eric Jones, driving the 43 car.
Yeah.
He is carrying that car better than maybe some of the drivers in years past have. He is really running that car up front, isn't he?
He is so talented, and I'm with you. If you have a chance to interact with Eric Jones, you'll become an Eric Jones fan.
No doubt.
You know, I mean, and I'm talking you and I covering him as a reporter, but fans, you get a chance to spend some time with Eric Jones, you're going to the souvenir rig to buy a hat and a T-shirt. That's how good of a person he is.
He is.
And he can wheel a car. Now, he got kind of crossed up. Remember, he was in the Gibbs camp and got kind of crossed up, odd man out, you know, I mean, musical chairs, and he didn't have a seat. This is the guy that got noticed when he wore out Kyle Busch at the Snowball Derby to win the Snowball Derby.
Right.
You know, you don't go beat Kyle Busch in a super late model for the biggest race of the year and not have some skills. And so that's another one of the teams. I think, you know, Trackhouse is the team that is obviously setting the standard of these new teams, but the Petty GMS and the Colleg Racing are not that far behind them. And it's because of guys like Eric Jones that are just talented race car drivers. I put Eric Jones in the category of a guy I think is going to win a race this year.
I do too.
And I'm telling you do that. He pulls Richard Petty's 43 car in the pits at one of these southeastern tracks, you know, like a Darlington or a Martinsville or a Richmond.
Oh, yeah.
And they're going to have $5 million worth of damage because the people will loot the place when they get done with that, when Richard Petty goes to victory lane. So, I mean, I think Eric Jones is just, he is that talented. And they get that car close, he's going to carry it to victory lane. That's how good he is.
You know, people said this about when Boyer drove my ARCA car down at Nashville and he ran second in it. You know, we were an unknown team. It was only our second race as a team. Boyer goes out. He qualifies seventh. He leads 47 laps. He loses the lead with 9 laps to go. He runs second. And that drew more attention to Boyer because of our team not having much of experience. In a situation like Eric Jones, when he carries the 43 car the way he has been carrying it, you think that could open up opportunities with other bigger teams maybe next year in the future?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's got to be poised should something open up at one of the mega teams. I think he's got to be putting himself in a spot because I think everyone understands that they don't have the engineering budget. They don't, you know, they're not, you know, Chevrolet has three premier teams, Richard Childress, mm-hmm. Rick Hendrick, and Trackhouse. you know, Petty GMS is not one of those premier Chevrolet teams. They're good, and this car has equalized that a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, but still, the engineering support, the depth of the team, the number of engineers, the number of mechanics, the number of people working on the cars, I think people do see that, and I think Erik Jones is accounting for himself very, very well.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
This team, how good this team can get, will determine where he goes in the future, whether he stays or whether he gets an opportunity to go somewhere big. But I think that opportunity will be I think he will have a decision to make at some point down the road, whether it's this year or next year. He'll have a decision for an opportunity with one of those teams, and well earned and well deserved, by the way.
So the race was so good down there in Austin that they've already said that they're going to start selling tickets for next year. How about that?
I'm so glad to hear that. We went down there. Everyone was all excited about it, and we had that monsoon last year. And people were like, well, should we go back or should we go back? I said, please, give the place a fair chance.
Right.
You know, just give it a fair chance. It didn't have a fair chance last year. Well, it had a fair chance. You know, I mean, and when you saw them, they get to the top of that hill, and they're fanning out 5 wide, 6 wide, 7 wide, and then funneling down through the S's and everything. My gosh, and that atmosphere is so good there. Austin is just a great destination city to go to.
Yeah.
I hope they're selling tickets for NASCAR races there for years and years to come, because I think that's a good spot for us to be at. I really do, and that's a world class road course.
No doubt.
I just think everything is good there at Austin. I think that that's one let's continue to build upon.
No, I'm with you. We're visiting with Steve Post. His appearance is brought to us by Sage Fruit. We want to thank them for allowing Steve Post to come over on our show each and every week on Wednesdays. Steve, did you go down to 6th Street while you were down there?
Well, I did that. I did not do Austin this weekend. We had a different crew there, so I was not there. But last year I did.
Oh, that's right, because it was PRN, right?
Yeah, it's a PRN. So, so I did the World of Outlaw Late Models at the place your mama warned you about, Cherokee Speedway. But I did go last year to 6th Street and walked and went into a couple of places there. And then I went to a real live honky-tonk. I think it was called the White Horse Saloon.
I know where it's at.
And oh, my gosh, dude. I mean, you want to talk about real music. I mean, it was authentic. It was fantastic. I got there at 8:30 for a 9 o'clock show, sat right at the bar. Within a half hour, the place was just full of people. The first group, I'm sitting here going, if this is the warm-up band or the first group, what is the last group like? And I sat there for about 5 hours. And just listened to music and danced and had a great time. Oh, my gosh. Dude, I'm telling you what, Austin, that's what I mean. That's a destination city. And
for sure.
And that place, man, that place, I just had a ball. I didn't get on the Austin program for the Camping World Truck Series this year. I'm going out to Sonoma to do that one instead, which is another great place I'm going to look forward to going to. But Austin was so good that I actually have looked at some off weekends just to get on a plane and fly down there and go just check that out, because that's how good Austin is.
All right, the big question, what's better, 6th Street or Broadway in Nashville?
Oh.
That's a tough question, bud.
Yeah, that is. I think here's where I'm going to go. I'm now 20s and 30s, Steve Post. I would be looking, what is it like from 9 o'clock till 2 a.m. or 3 a.m.?
Right.
And I think it's a really, really tight battle there, because it's a party. I think where I give lower Broadway the advantage is old afternoon having a beer with a band, Steve. Lower Broadway in Nashville is so good.
It really is.
You can go to Lower Broadway in Nashville at 1 o'clock in the afternoon and hear acts that you won't see in your hometown ever. So I think Lower Broadway, because of the window it opens up for an old day drinker like me, as opposed to an all-nighter that I used to be. So
right.
I don't know if that made any sense or not, but I think that's where I'm going.
Perfectly clear. Made a lot of sense to me. Me personally, I'm a 6th Street guy, because the variety of music that's on 6th Street is a little bit different than what you get down on Broadway. Broadway, it's typically mostly country. But I like 6th Street because there's some rock bands down there and some different things going on there as well. So,
all right. So, yeah. So last year, 2021, I not only did 6th, and I agree with you, the variety on 6th is definitely better than Lower Broadway. Lower Broadway is a lot the same. You go to this place and that place and this place, and it all kind of runs together. So I'm with you. I also, though, last year, when I went over for the Lucas Oil ASTS National Tour that runs over in the Memphis area, I actually went to Beale Street. Jazz on Beale Street is not bad either. So last year, I had Beale Street, Lower Broadway, and 6th Street as well.
Yeah.
And I loved them all. Loved them all.
Well, one year, Scotty Cook, Jeff, and I, we did 6th Street. We did Memphis, Beale Street, and then we went to New Orleans.
Oh, now you're showing off.
And then we went to Nashville all in one year. And I think we killed some brain cells that year.
Oh, God, that'll do it.
Yeah,
that'll
for sure.
Hey, speaking now, I'll tell you, I will say this, talking about music, I know this is mostly motorsports. But,
yep.
I actually, on Saturday night, went and saw the Oak Ridge Boys.
Wow. How many of the original members are still with the Oak Ridge Boys?
Well, when you say original members, this group that is together now has been together for 49 years.
It's the original group.
It is the original group from the 70s. The group actually goes back to 1943.
Oh, really?
Okay.
I didn't know that.
This is the when they went from a gospel group to a pop group. You know, with Leaving Louisiana in the Broad Daylight, Elvira, Bobby Sue, My Baby's American Made. This is the same group, okay? Joe Bonsall joined the group in 1973. He's still the baby of the group. Everyone else has been there longer. Mm. 1973. Joe is 72 years old. Two of the guys are late 70s, and William Golden, the guy with the hair, he's 83 years old, okay? They were at a high school gym in Spartanburg, South Carolina, sold out show. It was the second show of the day. They did a show at 2 o'clock, then they did a show at 7 o'clock. Those boys came out throwing fire, Scott.
Wow.
I cannot believe how good that show was. It was outstanding. And they used to, I saw them in the 70s, or I saw them in the 80s and 90s, they used to run around the stage. Now they no longer run around the stage.
They just stand
there. They're still out with the crowd. I mean, it's phenomenal. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
Hey, Pete wanted me to ask you, what do you think about the Keselowski penalty?
I think that we need to find more details on what they did, and I'm a little disappointed we haven't. You know, I understand NASCAR does not want to release the details. Okay, because there's going to be a pending appeal, right, wrong, or different, whatever it is. My thing is that usually you go to the pits and everyone tells you what's going on. We haven't really heard all the details. I don't even know that we've known all the details. I guess it's back bumper related. So I don't know. I know NASCAR has said don't touch these parts, and apparently they feel like they touched that part. Mm-hmm. And so we're just going to have to see what happens with it. But I don't know enough of the details to know what to mean, other than NASCAR was very adamant about touching these parts.
Yeah.
You know, so apparently they feel that that's where it while it's related to the bumper, it's more related to the, we told you not to mess with all of these vendor supplied parts. And so I think I need to stay tuned before I know too much what's going on with that.
Right.
And it was weird. What I gather in talking to my buddies that were down at Austin, not a lot of talk about what it was. Usually when something like that happens, you walk into the garage and within 10 minutes, you know every detail.
Right.
You know, I mean,
tight-lipped.
They did this and they did that and they did this and they, you know, so I don't know. We're still kind of sorting that out.
Steve, what do you got coming up on Winged Nation on this week? What do you got going on?
We have got Corey Day and Jason Myers.
That Corey Day is a shoe, man. 16 years old.
Good
that
Lord.
Guy can drive, man.
Holy cow. The apple don't fall far from the tree from Ronnie on that one, does it?
No way.
My gosh. He can wheel that race car.
Yep.
And so we have Jason, Jason, who is his team owner and his mentor. So we have Jason and Corey Day on this weekend's television show on MAV TV on Saturday morning. So just phenomenal stuff. We've already recorded the show. You know, Corey's a good teenager, great young shoe. Jason, of course, his perspective is always so good. So we've got a great, great show coming up on Wing Nation presented by Sage Fruit this weekend. It's going to be awesome.
It's always good, Steve. I always enjoy your show. You guys do a fantastic job covering wing sprint car racing, and it's always a pleasure to check out your show. Anytime I've got time to watch it, I love it. So we appreciate everything that you guys do over there at Wing Nation, man. We'll talk to you next week. All right, buddy?
Sounds good. We'll talk next week. Looking forward to it, Scott.
All right. There you have it, Steve Post. His appearance again brought to you by Sage Fruit. We want to thank those guys for allowing him to come over. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Scotty Cook joins us next here on Mostly Motorsports.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Rod End Supply is involved with a variety of motorsports as well as industrial applications with many different types of products. Since 1989, Rod End Supply has provided superior products priced competitively. Whether you're racing at the circle track or drag strip, rock climbing, or going off-road, Rod End Supply has an assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products to keep your equipment moving. Rod End Supply's experienced staff is ready and willing to help you with your needs. Their promise is to continue to provide a superior product with superior service so you can stay in front of the field no matter what it is. To learn more, go to rodendsupply.com.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen-printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen-printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
39 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back. It's Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott. Austin behind the board over here running the machine, driving the knobs. He's doing a great job. We appreciate everything he does for us here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. And joining us now on the show is my old brother, traveled up and down the road with me for about 11 years. Scotty Cook joins us now. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing good. What's up, T-Bone?
Oh, I'm doing all right, man. How are you holding up? You holding up all right?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I'm just finished sitting here watching the crazy old senile Let's Go Brandon try to get everybody to get their boosters.
Yeah, what's that all about? Who's trying to get you to get boosters?
Let's Go Brandon.
Let's Go Brandon.
Come on, man. You don't know anything about Let's Go Brandon?
I know.
Austin, you better fill him in.
What is it, Brandon? What is
you
it?
You don't know about Let's Go Brandon.
I don't know.
Taylor, shame on you.
What is it?
You remember when that Brandon Brown won at Talladega last year? When the Xfinity Series?
Oh, yeah.
And the crowd started chanting behind him?
What'd they say?
Well,
I don't know if we could say.
I'm not going to say.
You don't know about that.
I'll say it if you just tell me
what
they said.
Well, it just involves our president.
Oh, so they were dogging on the press.
Yes.
Yeah, I got you.
They were saying FJB.
Oh, that's what they were doing.
Austin, where has Scott Traylor been?
Well, I don't listen. I do as little as I can to stay away from politics, bud. Just so you know,
I don't want
anything to do with politics.
I was going to say, I forgot the cardinal rule about this show. We talk about anything but religion and politics, and I just pop off first thing off the bat.
Right. What the hell are you doing here? You trying to run my show?
Anyway, yeah, that's what I was doing. I was watching that senile old man try to talk and walk. But anyway, yeah, things going good, bud.
Yeah, yeah. Well, how was last weekend? Tell me what you think about last weekend.
Well, what I think about last weekend, Scott, was we went through about a two-year spell of stops on the Lucas Oil American Sprint Car Series at Hammer Hill. Where they were less than entertaining. They had messed with the track a little bit and lost a lot of its entertainment value. We saw some drab races in a short time span, and they decided to recut the racetrack and put some banking back into it. And both nights this past weekend were nothing less than spectacular and awesome. I-30 Speedway of days gone by is back, and thank you, Tracy Clay, Joe Clay, entire Clay family for having us down there, because it was absolutely awesome. Loved it. Good stuff, man. Really, really good racing.
Yeah, because there was a couple years where the racing wasn't that good down there, really. I mean, after they put the blade on it, they took a little of the banking out of it, they put some new dirt on it. It took them a little while to get the track back, didn't it?
It didn't work out very well, and they realized that, and kudos to them for making an effort to get it back to what it used to be, and they certainly did. It was absolutely awesome. It was pretty interesting on the first day, because they had received a lot of first day, meaning last Friday, they had received a lot of rain down there in Central Arkansas the middle of the last week, and then Friday afternoon they dumped a lot of water on it, man, and about 5:45 of the afternoon there was an exorbitant amount of water just standing, and they were in the middle of running it in, and we were like, dang. I was standing there with Tim Crowley and Wayne Johnson, and Tim says, one thing we know, it's not gonna rubber down tonight. Well, it did not rubber down, but as the night unfolded, it was pretty interesting, because for the first time I'd ever seen that place blow dust. It blew a lot of dust, but it did not take away from the entertainment value. It was awesome, exciting, slide jobs everywhere. So it was good stuff. I had just never seen the dust blow the way it did. It was kind of interesting. But then Saturday night rolled around, And before feature time, it had slicked off bone slick, and it made for some awesome, awesome. As I think back through my years, it might be the best race I've ever seen there. An unbelievable battle with Reitzel and Hahn. After Reitzel got up there, and Hahn got to the point and set the pace, and Reitzel finally got up to the point, and it was an absolute dogfight for six laps until Blake finally slapped the wall coming out of four and bent to Jacob's ladder. He was able to struggle and hang on to a top five, finished fourth. Covington got by him late. Howard Moore squiggled through there and got him a solid runner-up. But a lot of moving and shaking coming up through the field on Saturday night's race, and it ended for some very, very highly entertaining action, that's for sure.
Man, I'm telling you, ever since Howard Moore is hooked up with A.G. Raines, they have been stellar, haven't they?
I mean, it's almost like a match made in heaven for both of them. They get along very, very well. I mean, who couldn't get along with A.G. Raines,
right,
or Howard Moore, for that matter? But, you know, I asked him as much in the post-race to comment on that. He just said that he feels so very blessed to be with him, and lends for a solid, solid piece of a hot rod every time he straps on. I mean, Howard, you know, we don't get to see him up and down the road out on the national tour, only when we get in his region. But one thing's for sure, when we show up and he's there, he's always, everybody else is turning their head because they know that he's going to be a solid one to contend with, and he definitely was Saturday night, that's for sure.
Yeah. Matt Covington has had a series of bad nights leading up to this weekend, but he did get him a podium finish on Saturday night. That had to feel good to him, getting that monkey kind of off of his back a little bit, because he's had some really bad luck lately.
Whew, I'll tell you, three races in, he was feeling covered up like a blanket. First night out, he had some issue with the rear end, popped out of gear, and it zinged the motor, like, really, really high.
Yeah.
And he's switching motor programs. He's gone to Charlie Fisher's, and when he was afraid that when he zinged that motor that he might have hurt it. But through the first issue that caused the motor to zing, coming out of gear, he found out that his fresh batch of winter's rear ends that he was ready to start the season with had defective couplers in them.
Uh-oh.
So the drive shafts weren't aligning up properly in them. And so not only did he have to crate up his Charlie Fisher and send it off to make sure that it wasn't hurt, he also had to send off few winners' rear ends, the defective couplers to be fixed on them. And so a tough night the second night, I think motor problems. And then came out the box. What happened on anything that we could hit or anything that would get in the way on Friday night for him, it happened. A car spinning in front of him, getting involved in accidents. Then he had to take a provisional for the feature. Ended up clipping a Uke tire, dunking out a front axle. So it was bad, bad, bad deal. Bad first three nights after two nights at Devil's Bowl, one night in Little Rock. I rode down with Matt Covington and his crew chief, Matthew Howard, and when they were loading up to go, they loaded up the spare motor, and it just so happened to be Matthew's mother, Linda Howard's motor for
right.
Matthew and Nicholas to run. And I recall them saying as they were pushing it in the box, well, we're going to plan on not having to use that this weekend. Well, they ended up having to use it on Saturday night. And, wow, he had a really, really, really good run. Like I said, he lingered around fifth, sixth there for a moment, dropped back to Actually, I think he had, well, for one moment, dropped back to six. He got a great starting spot, I think, the first three rows, two rows, and dropped back to fifth, clawed his way to fourth, and then late, he was able to get by Blake, who was limping to hang on at that point. But to be able to salvage a really, really good night and a podium finish third on Saturday night at Little Rock was a large victory for those two young men, as it's, as you mentioned, a huge struggle for those guys the first three races out. But the one thing that we know about Matt Covington for sure, Scott, is that boy's always swinging, always, always.
So, he's not a quitter.
Rebound and a good finish for them.
He's not a quitter.
Pardon me?
He's not a quitter, that's for sure. Hey,
never, ever a quitter.
I got to ask you, Wayne Johnson, we've had him on this show, and he swears up and down that he's not going to run for the Lucas Oil ASCS National Tour Championship. He's leading the points right now over Blake Hahn by, I think, 36 points. Do you feel in your gut that Wayne Johnson will stay on the National Tour and try to win that $50,000?
As long as he stays within the top three of the points, no matter what he says, I think that as long as that championship is within striking distance, I would think that it would be funny for him to turn around and just drop it. A lot of racing yet left to go, but it's funny. I was kind of looking at the review and the point standings, and that very thought occurred to me. But my guess is that, I mean, you got to figure really looking at it through his eyes. This is, again, I've not gotten any, feedback or anything from him on that personally, and he's not told me anything personally, but you got to look through his eyes the last 3 years.
Yep.
After being out on the, ASCS tour for so many years, of course, being, successful, I believe a past champion as well, right?
Yep.
Didn't Wayne win a championship years back?
Yes, he did.
Anyway, you got to figure after joining the World of Outlaw Tour, there's no doubt about it. Anybody who's in the know in sprint car racing, especially over the last 5, 6, 7 years, knows that it's really, really turned into a young man's game.
Mm-hmm.
A young man's game, let alone trying to tackle the young man's game on the upper tier with the World of Outlaws. And, kudos to him. Quite humbling, I think. And, you know, he found out that it's indeed a young man's game and at times a struggle to compete with those guys. So to be able to do that for a couple of years as he did and just keep kicking it, you know, that's – we talk all the time about the mentality of a driver, and if you're not getting solid finishes and performances, that has an effect on your coconut. You know, you start wondering, will I ever win another race? Will I ever make, you know, so get another podium or whatnot? And so for him to put himself under that struggle mentality over the last couple of years of the World of Outlaw Tour and to come back out back in his own old playground with some familiar old faces and many, many new faces, and many of those new faces and old faces are still young, young, talented drivers. And mm-hmm. so for him to come out, kick off the season with a win at the Devil's Bowl on night number one and a solid finish the second night, and then to leave Little Rock with the points lead, I've got to say that he's going to be at each stop until that carrot is no longer dangling in front of his nose.
Well,
and he'd sit here and he'll
deny it. He'll deny that.
Telling what he'd say.
Right.
So, yeah, there's no telling what he'd say about that. Right. But, you know, Wayne, he's always going to be there to offer his opinion and let you know what he thinks. But my personal opinion, knowing that crazy old fart, he'll be out with us until he can't see that championship in front of him as he sees it right now.
Wayne Johnson won the championship in 2000.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
I thought, are you sure about that?
Yep, I'm positive.
I thought Zach Chappell was the 2000 champion.
Zach Chappell won the championship in 2001.
Whew, boy, that was a long time ago. My gosh.
That was a long, long time ago.
And I struggle to remember who won or finished top three the last race.
Right. Sometimes I can't remember who won that night.
Just move on to the next one, man.
That's right.
You get done with the last one, you got to make start making arrangements for the next one.
That's right. Scotty, well, listen, I appreciate you coming on the show and being a part of it. We'll have you on after the next national tour event. Obviously, they've rained out this weekend, plus they're worried about the tire situation that they have going on right now. So there's a couple worries about that Jackson race down there. They're not going to have it this weekend. So we'll talk to you after the next one. Okay, bud?
Yeah, that sounds good. I want to send kudos out to Terry Maddux, first of all, for pulling the plug this weekend. You know, not only a tire issue, but weather was not looking the best as well. And you can attest as well as anyone, it's no fun going 500 plus miles away from home and getting canceled, postponed, or rained out. So glad that he made that executive decision. And boy, like we knew they would, all these drivers, because Matt Ward can attest, they're gonna surround you and come like a flock of hyenas when things are disgruntled or whatnot. And they did already. I forewarned him before the first race. Just your skin's going to have to grow thick within the next couple of weeks. And he's doing a really, really good job. And kudos to him. And before you let me go, a shout out. And we'll just hopefully let this segment be brought to you by the good, fine folks of cigarport.ca. Mr. Miles Hill, a great, great fella. And appreciate all his help as well. And so, we just move on to the next one and go from there, bud.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Scotty. I appreciate you taking the time to join us. We'll talk to you after, when is the next race after this weekend? That would be Abilene,
Tri-City?
I think Abilene, Texas. No, hold on. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong, Jackson. And then after Jackson, here, let me get
2 weeks off.
Then you go to Salina, Kansas on the 22nd.
Salina, that's right.
And then you'll be up at our home track here, US 36 Raceway in Osborne, Missouri that weekend. So you're Friday night at Salina and Saturday night at US 36.
I bet that's when I might stand a good chance of getting to catch up with you and old Kirk.
Well, why don't you just come on over and be a part of the show that day?
You'd be our first in the studio
guest.
Maybe
I will, if you've got an extra chair, huh?
We got it, bud. Come on.
That sounds good.
All right, buddy.
That sounds good. We'll plan on that.
Okay. I appreciate you. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Hey, tell Kirk Elliott hello and that he needs to start thinking differently if he still thinks that Oswald was the only one that knocked off Kennedy.
You'll never change his mind on that one.
I know that's right. Right. Sure. Be well, my friend. Y'all take care. I'm glad Austin's feeling better.
Yep. All right, buddy. Talk to you later. There you have it, Scotty Cook. His appearance is brought to you by Cigarport CA. Cigarport.ca. That's because of Canada.
Yes, sir.
You know that, right?
I did.
Yeah. You got any final words before we get
out of here? Yeah. Caleb Harvey made a comment on our Facebook chat. So he had a point of, will the Sooner race at Tulsa Speedway and 81 Speedway.
They're still racing.
Ayrton Chinnington's calling me. That's funny. Hopefully he gets the race this weekend at the lake. Will that race at Tulsa and 81 pick up some national tour drivers? I know Dylan Westbrook plans on going. I can see Ryan Timms going. Blake might even go. I mean, I wouldn't count out seeing, you know, about five national tour guys show up to that week. I know Jason Martin's going back home to I-80. So I could see a bunch of national tour cars going down to those two races.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it's I hope that they get it in this weekend down there at the lake.
I saw practice, the picture of, they're supposed to have practice last week, and I saw a picture of the track, and the track was hard packed and rolled in. It was just a pitch or two wet, so I don't know how much rain they got down there, but hopefully it's not a whole lot, and track can be kind of smooth, and we can see what the Power I-410 series will look like this year.
Yeah, no doubt. All right. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to the show. We'll do it all again tomorrow at 12 noon Central Time. We hope that you'll join us here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. And we'll do it all over again tomorrow. Tomorrow, Aaron Reitzel is going to join us on the show. He's going to talk about his win down at Little Rock. So we'll have him on the show. So if you want to tune in and listen to what Aaron had to say about his big win down at I-30 Speedway in Little Rock, Arkansas, he'll be on the show tomorrow afternoon. For Austin O'Neill, for Kirk Elliott, and I'm Scott Traylor saying thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow here on Mostly Motorsports. Again, all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.